Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 3, we were talking about God chastening Christians to bring them to repentance for their sins. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth." That word scourgeth means he flogs with a whip. "And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Now notice he called it the fruit of righteousness. And here we find that this wisdom from above that comes down to us, we find that it's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and now full of mercy and good fruits. Good fruits. And that's one of the reasons for his chastening in our lives. Yes, he chastens, but first, his desire is for you to repent. Ours in like matter is to be merciful. Someone owes you money? Be merciful. Don't show that your money is your God. Remember, it's not that they deserve forgiveness. Rather, it is a matter of us being Christ-like. The good fruit is the exercise of the fruit of the Spirit in conjunction with mercy. For example, doing good for someone who is unkind. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." That's kind of hard, is it not? To be full of mercy towards those that are enemies, that curse you and that hate you and despitefully use and persecute you. And yet, that's basically what Jesus is telling us to do. A husband makes a decision. The wife is against it. He feels that it's right. As head of the home, it is his decision. There's a strong discussion. But the final analysis is that God looks to him for the final decision. So he prevails and makes that decision. Now Mercy will send a card to his wife, take her out to eat, and treat her gently. The wife, on the other hand, to show that she is not going to hold a grudge and that she is a loving, submissive wife, will cook the favorite meal, show support for him, although she may disagree. In short, mercy may mean that we are owed something. Someone else has something bad they deserve from you, yet you show them good without sacrificing your principles, just like the husband who does good to his wife, even though the decision that he made was against her wishes. And you can be that way, my friend, although others will not appreciate what you do. God sees it. God knows it. And by the way, someone may deserve something bad from you, but they won't deserve more than you deserve from God, and God's been merciful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, I believe that Paul is addressing this very thing. He says, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Now notice, he calls it a fault, because they were taking one another to law. Their reactions were, "Man, I'm going to sue them for that." And that is so much against Matthew 5:44. That is so much against being full of mercy and good fruit. Could this be that he's saying here, why not take wrong and suffer yourself to be defrauded? Could not that be another way of telling us to exercise the mercy as Christ has towards us? Is this not a good fruit of the Spirit-filled man? Have we not defrauded Christ more than any man has defrauded us? Again, this idea of mercy is not weakness. God's mercy is offered before men seek it. However, it is not given to men if they do not repent. Do you realize that every man that goes to hell, every woman, every person who goes to hell with their debt paid? Jesus paid it all. They refused to accept the payment of his blood on their behalf. They do not repent. They do not turn from themselves and give their life to Christ. This then is an inward attitude and relationship with God that accepts God's instruction in these things that go against the natural tendency of the flesh. And we accept those things as good. Because Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. Therefore, although we may not like the situation, we may not like the circumstances, we do not dispute or resist God's way. Refraining mercy from anyone is not worth quenching the intimacy of my relationship with God. Now, if you're taking notes, you ought to write that down. Refraining mercy from anyone is not worth quenching the intimacy of my relationship with God. Now, keep it in mind. Please keep it in mind that truth is always connected to mercy. And we don't separate the two. Now, the next thing listed here as the wisdom from above that the Holy Spirit is trying to work in your life is without partiality. And this is the next step in God's goal for us. Remember, all these things that we have mentioned here in verse 17 are permeated with purity. All these things are first pure. All these things are God's will for your life. If you are saved, there is no exceptions to anyone that is saved in this verse. This is for every saved person. This is God's will, that you be first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And my friend, in any of those areas where we fail, is an area where we are failing God. And so we must keep that in mind, that this is God's will for your life, what we're reading here in James 3:17. Now, the term means, without partiality, means without discrimination. free from partial regards. In other words, God's word is never discriminated against or compromised in order to show favor or partiality to a particular lust of the flesh. I will first be very ridiculous to illustrate this point. Imagine that you love the game of chess. Now, there's nothing wrong with the game of chess. But let us imagine that the Grand Master World Champion will be coming to a town near you, and you have tickets to go. But the place is in a striptease dance club. Should you go? Well, man, if you go, tell your wife. You know better. Okay, that is so easy to answer. As I said, it is a very ridiculous illustration. But now, let me make it a little harder. Let's say that it's at the city auditorium, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it is on a Wednesday night when you have church services at your local church. Is it wrong to miss church in order to go? Well, yes, it is, because you're a Christian, and Jesus Christ is to be first. God before your pleasure. What about Little League? You know, sports, unfortunately, seems to have a priority over church. People get their little boys and girls in baseball, softball, basketball, football, and soccer, and other things, cheerleading, what have you. And they're involved in that. And when there is a conflict between that sport and church, they have their child play the sport. And many times they'll say this, well, you know, our child has made a commitment to this team, and we want them to learn to honor their commitments. Boy, doesn't that sound righteous? Didn't your child make a commitment to Christ? If they're saved, they did. Didn't you make a commitment to Christ? If you're saved, you did. And my friend, what is first? The commitments to Christ or the commitments to the world? You see, we can say, oh, I am Jesus first in all things. But that very thing of a Little League baseball game being on a Wednesday night may prove that Jesus is not your all in all. If you go to the game, you go to wherever, you show partiality to the flesh. Sometimes partiality is shown to friends, but the same thing is not extended to people whom you don't like when it's in the power of your hand to do it. If you're choosing the wisdom from above instead of the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, or devilish, then there will be no hint of a willingness to compromise God's word in order to satisfy the lust of the flesh, even if that lust is not a wicked thing. Basically, it is a question of true love for God, not just a stated love. A lot of people say, I love God. But so often, it is the situations of life, the circumstances of life, that prove where our real affections lie. Many times, pleasure wins out over God. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says.